Trouble According to Humphrey, Chapter 14, Home Sweet Humphreyville. Clang, 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 hear ye, hear ye, the town of Humphreyville welcomes you. That was AJ ringing a bell and wearing a funny three-cornered hat. I guess Mrs. Brisbane picked him to be the town crier because he had the loudest voice in the class. It's 7 o'clock and all is well. Your tour guides will now show you around the town. After 2 weeks of excitement and lots of hurried, scurried hard work, parents' night had finally arrived. I'm so used to being alone in the quiet classroom with Og on weekday nights, with a visit from Aldo, that it was strange but wonderful to see the whole room filled with my classmates' families. I knew most of them from my visits to their houses. There were AJ and all the Thomases, the Tugwells, Heidi and Gail and their families, the Rinaldis, the Patels, all the Golden family, except the Dob Clem, thank goodness, including her mum, dad, stepmum, brother, Ben, and stepsister, Abby. Even Paul and his mum were there. The class had voted to make him a full citizen of Humphreyville. Each student got to be a tour guide, showing his or her own family the houses, streets, park, and yes, the statue of me. There was a pleasant hubbub as the families admired the houses. Funny, all the parents thought the very best houses were made by their own children. "Hiya, Humphrey," a familiar voice sounded. It was Seth's grandma, Dot Larrabee. She was all dressed up and had bright red lips and fingernails. I hardly recognised her. Still the daring young man on the flying trapeze. I flung myself at my climbing ladder to prove that I was. After a half an hour of oohing and ahhing over Humphreyville, AJ rang his bell again. Clang, 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 hear ye, hear ye. Clang, clang, clang. The town meeting will now come to order. AJ certainly liked ringing that bell. He rang it a few more times until Mrs. Brisbane told him that was enough. She asked the parents to take their seats. Mostly they sat in kid-sized chairs, though they looked a bit silly. Aldo brought in some folding chairs too. The students stood so that their parents could sit down. "Might have a stick around?" Aldo asked. "I'd be disappointed if you didn't," Mrs. Brisbane told him. The entire Payne family arrived a little late. Mr. and Mrs. Payne, Mandy, Pammy, Tammy and Brian, of course. I thought Mrs. Payne worked at night. Clang, clang, clang. AJ certainly knew how to get people's attention. "Hear ye, hear ye." Presenting Mrs. Brisbane. Parents clapped and Mrs. Brisbane came to the front of the room. "It's great to have such a big turnout tonight. I know it's hard to get here after a long day, but I wanted to share with you all the work your children have put into building their own community from scratch. I think they did a wonderful job, don't you?" The families clapped even louder. AJ clapped too and dropped his bell with a large clang, boing, boing, said Og. Maybe he thought the bell was another frog. Anyway, everybody laughed. Mrs. Brisbane said it was in time to introduce our special guest, Mr. Dudley Dalton, a member of our own town council. A tall, very thin man with large round glasses and a skinny moustache came to the front of the room. When the clapping stopped, he cleared his throat and pulled a piece of paper out of his jacket pocket. "Thank you, Mrs. Brisbane," he said. "I'm honoured to be here to share this evening with these wonderful young people of Longfellow School. Truly, they are a credit to our community." He smiled slightly, as if smiling hurt his face. "Since we've had a look at Humphreyville tonight, I'd like to share with you some background about our own town and how it's grown over the years." Mr. Dudley Dalton unfolded the paper and began to read and read and read, read, read. Instead of reading something like a story, he read facts and figures, dates and something he called statistics, which were harder to understand than the hardest vocabulary word we've ever had. All the parents and students tried hard to concentrate on what Mr. Dalton was saying, but as he went on and on, it was harder to pay attention. If only he could have made the reading of his statistics as interesting as Mrs. Brisbane made her story sound. Soon, I saw Seth start to fidget. His sister Lucinda gave him a hard G. jab in the ribs with her elbow and she settled down again. Mr. and Mrs. Payne looked a little drowsy. When I glanced at my friend Doss, I saw that her eyes were closed and her chin was dropping. Didn't Mr. Dudley Dalton notice that he was putting his audience to sleep? I suppose not, since he never looked up from his paper, not once. Everyone tried hard to pay attention until Mr. Dalton got stuck on the word economics. It's a hard word, I'll admit, but when he said eek-o-momics, Gail started giggling, and what's worse, Gail's mum started giggling too. Mr. Dalton corrected himself, economics. And that's pretty much sums up the growth of this wonderful community that we all call home. He folded up his piece of paper and everyone applauded, probably because they were relieved that he'd finished. When everyone clapped, Dot's eyes opened wide, her head jerked up and said, "Oh!" rather loudly. The applause had stopped, so Mrs. Brisbane asked if she had a question. Dot stood up. "Not a question, just a comment. Facts and figures are fine, but what makes up a community is people. I've known some pretty interesting people in my lifetime here." "Mother," Mrs. Stevenson whispered, "sit down." "Grandma," Lucinda whispered, "please." But Mrs. Brisbane smiled. I couldn't agree more. That encouraged Dot to keep going. I was hoping she'd tell the story of the dancing bear. "For example, when I was growing up here..." Lucinda groaned loudly, and Seth squirmed in his chair. That didn't stop Dot. "I grew up in a yellow house with white trim down on Alder Street. There were nice houses down there with big trees around them and a shop on the corner. Even though it wasn't as big as this room, you could find anything you wanted in that shop. Where Petorama is now," I squeaked. I hadn't planned on saying anything. It just slipped out. Gail and her mum started giggling again. That didn't stop Dot either. "You kids like the shopping centre. But did you know there used to be a roller skating rink there with an amusement park next door? Had a merry-go-round and a Ferris wheel. And there were pony rides too." Boy, I have to say, Dot had everyone's attention now. Mr. Dudley Dalton nervously folded and refolded his paper while she talked. "When you talk about history, you have to know the facts and figures, of course. You also have to know how people lived, what they did, how they thought, what they did for fun." Dot was running out of steam, or else she was getting tired of Lucinda tugging on her skirt, trying to get her to sit down. "Anyway, that's my opinion." She sat down. Lucinda, Mrs. Stevenson and Seth all seemed pretty nervous, but then a nice thing happened. People began to applaud. Not for Dudley Dalton, the town council, but for Dot. Mrs. Brisbane clapped too. When the applause died down, Mrs. Brisbane said, "Class, I think we found our next social studies project. I think we should get out and interview people like Mrs. Larrabee and find out what life used to be like in this town. You can talk to your parents, your grandparents, your neighbours." Mr. Brisbane works down at the Senior Citizen Centre. "I think that would also be a good place to meet people. What do you think, Mr. Dalton?" "A fine idea," he said, running a handkerchief across his forehead. "People are a finest resource." Mrs. Brisbane did a good job of wrapping things up so that people could go home. Instead of leaving, parents and their children gathered around Dot, asking her questions about the amusement park and Alder Street and saying they'd like to get together. Dot's skin was rosy and she was smiling a lot more than when I'd stayed at the house. "I think Grandma's a star," I heard Seth's mother tell her children. "Great," said Lucinda, rolling her eyes dramatically. It turns out that Dot wasn't the only one drawing a crowd. The entire Payne family gathered around my cage. For the first time since I'd known them, they were all smiling. "Here's our boy," said Mrs. Payne. "Yes, sir. Humphrey, we owe you our thanks. I'm sorry you had to go to the vets, but if you hadn't, I would have never got that job at the veterinary surgery." "A good job, too. Nice people and nice animals," said Mr. Payne. "Yippee! He not only got the job, but he liked it. I think I'm going to take some classes so I can get promoted," he added. "Yippee! Without you, I wouldn't have been able to go back on the day shift and spend more time with the kids," said Mrs. Payne. "And I wouldn't have got my very own hamster," said Mandy. "You know, Winky. He's the cutest hamster I've ever seen, next to you, of course." Winky, the toothless, one-eyed hamster, had a real home. "Thanks, Humphrey. You can come to our house any time, said Mrs. Payne. Next time I get to hold him, said Pammy. No, I get to hold him, said Tammy. Me too, said Brian. Some things never change, I suppose. Winky had his paws full living at the Payne's house. Somehow I knew he could handle it. Later that night, after Aldo had taken away the folding chairs, it was quiet in room 26, except for the tick, tick, tick of the clock. I spent some time writing about the evening's events in my notebook. The moon was full and bright. Even in the moonlight, I could see buds of green on the trees outside. The evening was warm. March was almost over, and just as Dot had predicted, it was going out like a lamb. Og, I finally squeaked. Og, are you awake? I heard some gentle splashing, so I knew he couldn't be sleeping. Room 26 is a pretty special place. Don't you agree? Og replied with a friendly, agreeable boing. I glanced across the room. There was the town of Humphreyville, spread across several tables. In the moonlight, it looked even more like a real town than during the day. It would all be over soon, of course. Mrs. Brisbane was going to let my friends take their houses home with them. The room would go back to the way it used to be. I crouched down and pushed up on the lock with all my might. The door swung open. It's a lovely night for a stroll, I told Og. Sorry you can't join me. Boing! Og started bouncing so high he might as well have been on a trampoline. What was he trying to tell me now? Boing! 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 Scree! My old pal did it again. He popped the top off his tank, leapt out and landed on the bag of Nutri-Nibbles nearby. I must admit, I was worried when I saw him there. It took a lot of effort for him to bounce up high enough to get out of his tank. But how on earth was he going to get bounced to get back in? And if he was out of the water for too long, he could be in big trouble. But he was already out of his cage and there wasn't a thing I could do about it except enjoy his company. It's a lovely night for a stroll, I repeated, and I'm so glad you can join me. Og and I scurried along our table until we reached Humphreyville. The table, it was on quite a bit lower than ours. I remember what Aldo had said about broken bones. So instead of jumping, I lowered myself by my paws and dangled there for a second, then gently dropped down. I landed pretty hard and even did a somersault, but we hamsters are good acrobats. Og had no problem making the giant leap. There we were, on the main street of Humphreyville, Taco Boulevard. For the first time I realised that the houses were just the right size for a hamster like me, or for a frog like Og. We strolled past AJ's house of blocks, which was next to Miranda's purple castle. Across the street was a long drawing of shops, a cinema, a bowling alley, even a pet shop, which all my friends had worked on. We turned down Basketball Avenue, past Garth's log cabin, which was next to a small house with a large basketball court. That was Tabitha's house, naturally. She loved sport more than anything. On Soccer Street, we saw Seth's rocket ship house. Say's block of flats stood across from Art's amazing merry-go-round house with the slide coming down the train tracks going through it. Across the street was a smaller version of Art's house. It was Paul's place, of course. Video Game Way crossed at the corner and there was Gail's bright yellow house with a picket fence around it and flowers painted on it. Pizza Place had a pizza parlour as well as the courthouse with its cardboard pillars and a clock up on top. On this clock, it was always 12 o'clock. That meant it was either noon or midnight. Next to the courthouse was the school and the playground. We turned down Brake Lane, which led to the large park and the playground and a baseball diamond. The grassy Og the Frog Nature Reserve had been moved to one side of the park. Nice sign, I said. Og twanged in agreement. We stopped in the centre of the park and stared up at the tall statue. There it was, larger than life and golden. Even a golden hamster was never that golden before. On the base of the statue it said, "To Humphrey, a friend in need is a friend indeed." It's a funny kind of saying, but I thought about it and realised it's true. March had roared in like a lion, blowing in a whole lot of trouble for the students in room 26. Seth's jitterness Art's failing marks, Mandy's unhappy family, and especially Miranda being wrongly accused of something she didn't do. These were my friends and I did my best to help them. Now March was ending and all these troubles had blown away with the blustery winds. Tomorrow, Humphreyville would be gone, but my friends would still be there and Mrs. Brisbane, Aldo and Og as well. We walked back through the town and headed back to our table. I was relieved to see that Og had no trouble hopping up onto the table. He then leapt onto the Nutri-Nibbles bag, bounced his way up to the top of the top, and then, with one enormous leap, jumped back into the tank, where he landed with a very impressive splash. "Well done, Oggie," I complimented him. Of course, tomorrow Mrs. Brisbane would find the top of his tank and wonder about it, but somehow I wasn't worried. Once I was back in the safety of my cage, I felt unspeakably happy. "You know what, Og? We turned out to have the best jobs of all. The classroom pets of room 26. Boing, 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 boing." Og agreed. I'm absolutely positive that he was saying yes. Families proclaim Humphreyville to be the perfect community. Students say they'll always think of Humphreyville as their hometown. The Humphreyville Herald.